All right, again, thank you for being with us this morning. I want you to keep your Bibles open to Matthew chapter number 26 here. We're going to look at a thought here, and it is going to be related a little bit to what we're doing next week with our building offering, but it also applies to really anything we do in our life, because really if you're going to accomplish anything in life of any value, right, either spiritually, even just in any aspect of life, it involves sacrifice. It really does. You're going to be successful in a business sense, you're going to have to sacrifice. You want to be successful, not successful, you want to, we want our church that's doing something and making an impact in people's lives and people coming to know the Lord, that takes sacrifice. If you're going to have a good family and a good marriage, that takes sacrifice. But sometimes sacrifice is hard. And you make a sacrifice and it may hurt, but in the long run, it's best. I read a story a while ago that about a decision that Winston Churchill had to make during World War II. It's a decision I would not have wanted to have made. They had deciphered some of the Germans' codes. They had these codes and they were able to decipher it. The Germans didn't know they deciphered it. And so they were paying attention to the messages they were sending to each other, and they were waiting at a point when they would hear something that was useful, because they knew the first time that they intercepted something that the Germans were going to do, they would know that their codes had been deciphered and they were going to change them. And one of the military leaders came to Winston Churchill and said, "We found out that they need some munitions or something, and they're going to go attack this one small town, a town of several thousand." And so they're like, "Are you going to be there to cut them off so that they don't attack the town?" And Churchill made this decision. No. He said, "I know we're going to lose some people because of that, but in the long run, there's going to be a big offensive that we are going to be able to use that information, and it's going to save more lives and change the tides of war." What a sacrifice. Now, I am glad I would not have had to make that decision. But sacrifice really is just a part of life. And today I want you to see a story of a lady who gave a huge sacrifice and people who really pushed back against it. In chapters 24 and 25 of Matthew, Jesus had just finished his discourse on his second coming. Right after this, he is going to be crucified. Now he's in Bethany at the house of Simon, who was a leper. And a woman comes in and she pours an alabaster box of ointment on our Lord. It was very, very, very costly. In one of the other Gospels, John, it tells us that this lady is Mary, the sister of Lazarus. They were also from Bethany. The disciples didn't react very well to this gift that was given to Jesus Christ. In fact, they looked at it and said, "What a waste." They also put a value of 300 pence. That's about a year's worth of income. And they're like, "You just wasted all of that." The lady who did this for the Lord and Jesus' disciples, his guys, who lived with him for 3 years, are like, "What a waste. What a waste." The fact of the matter is, that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ, and there's no better gift that you can give to except the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anything we do for him. Yep. And again, I'm speaking this morning with our eye towards next week, but you can apply it to anything in life. But if we sacrifice and give to the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing we do for him is a waste. Amen. But yet some of his men thought that it was. It's almost like they're looking at this situation and like, "Is it worth it? I mean, should she really have taken that and in their mind wasted it by giving it to or using it on the Lord?" The application I want to make, and we'll look at a few thoughts here, is too many people think that anything we do for Christ is just an outrageous waste. You saw the video, and I'm thankful for the video. It showed some of the things we do, and really that's what our church is about. Our church is about making an impact. We don't want to just, look, when we built this building is not about comfort. It's not. Now, I'm glad it's nice. and I'm glad the chairs are decent, and I'm glad the carpet, and I walk around, if someone spills something, I'm like, what's going on? Like, let's clean that up right away. But it's not about our comfort. If we build this building and all we think about is ourselves and it's good for us and we don't want to go outside the walls of our church, then let's tear it down and start over. Yeah. We're here to make a difference. Yeah. We're here to leave something behind. We run our buses into places where maybe those that would not have a ride to church can be encouraged to come to church. We go to the rest homes, and many of them come here, and I'm thankful for them. We used to have a few, and it's like, take over the back wall, and now I'm telling them, take over the bottom floor. We'll put you wherever we can. But we have people that go to 10 of them on Saturdays, people that most of them that would not be able to come to church, and most of them that maybe people don't have a lot of visitors, and we go there every Saturday, and we encourage them. And that's what I want in our church. We have missionaries throughout the world sent from our church. We have, we started a church in Monterey Park. I was thinking, Cindy here, that's Tim's wife. She was reached in the church we planted in Monterey Park. I have a daughter-in-law. She was reached in the church in Monterey Park. So we're not just about comfort. What we're doing is about giving to the Lord for a purpose, whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, and also if it is our treasure. But when we give, people think it's outrageous. What a waste. And it's not just money. People think, why are you at church on a Sunday morning, right? You could be home watching your favorite team lose. Giving your life. We think about some of these, and Brother Vong and others that are here, and Adrian, and we have more. I think Brother Bourne will be here soon. And they've given their lives to go to a foreign country, and people look at that and say, what a waste. What a waste. People are out here on Saturdays and do the different things we do, or come here early to drive a bus or drive a shuttle bus, and say, why do you guys have a shuttle bus? Because we all want to park over at Blue Line, right? So we can leave the parking lot open for our visitors. That was a free commercial. Amen. There's always going to be someone that doesn't understand what we're doing and think it's a waste of our life. And it's not. This morning I want to look at this sacrifice of this lady here, specifically in giving, but also in all areas, and see. And I want us to look at three thoughts that should answer the question, should we give? Because she got some major pushback. So let's answer that question in three parts. First of all, I want us to look at why wouldn't we give? Let's look at some of the reasons as why we shouldn't. And we're going to look at it from the thoughts of some of the others and how they reacted. And let me just tell you something. What they said wasn't good. And it wasn't right. First of all, why wouldn't we give? Because we have fearful reactions. Look at verse 8, please, of chapter 26. And when the disciples saw it, they were men. They were just normal people. And here's how it shows. They had indignation. You know what that means? They were upset. They were not happy. They were borderline angry. That's what indignation is. So here's this lady, Mary, giving this gift to Jesus, and his disciples are upset about it. By the way, the reason they were upset is because they were stirred up by Judas, and we know what he was all about. But why would they even be upset? It wasn't theirs, and it wasn't theirs that they gave, and it wasn't to them, it was to Jesus. Why would they be upset? How often is it true that in our case, when it comes to sacrificing anything or living to God, we are fearful? We have a fear about living for God or loving Him because of what we hear from other people. Whether it's someone who criticizes what you're doing. And by the way, I've heard people, why do you waste your time? Why do you give your life to that? Because the Lord asked me to give my life to it. And by the way, I've been serving Him now since I was 18. And when I was serving, I didn't plan on being a pastor. It just kind of fell into place. But I'll tell you what, if this was a bad choice, don't tell me, because I'm having a great time. If living for God is not a good choice, then don't say a thing to me, because it's been the best thing that I've ever done. And that's just, you say, well, I don't believe that and I'm not going to do it. That's your choice, but I'm just saying, I'm good. Don't be fearful. There's nothing to fear when it comes to serving the Lord. Also, look at this. They had frivolous motives. Continue in verse 8. They say they had indignation, saying, to what purpose? What was the purpose of even doing this? Well, if we know who was stirring this up, this was Judas, and we know that his purpose wasn't right. You have to understand that whenever we're doing something, we have to attach it to something more than just ourselves. Right? I mean, it's something we have to fight because we look at life, and so often we only look at it through the lens of what's good for me. And by the way, I'm not saying we don't need to take care of ourselves. I understand all that. We have to pay our bills and do our jobs, fulfill our responsibilities, and we want joy, and that. But that all comes through Christ. But if that's your only purpose in life about you or about me, we're missing out on it. There's more to this life than just us. There's more to this life just about me and mine. But her purpose was right because her motive was right. You know what her motive was? Love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, when you're doing something out of love for God, that's a good motive. That's a good motive. I don't want anybody, as we're giving next week, and again, I'm not trying to put pressure. I'm trying to just let us know what we're doing and what we can be a part of. But look, that's between you and God. It has nothing to do with us. But I do know this, in any area of our life where we live for God or we give to Him, it's a good thing. And God always takes care of us because we have a greater purpose in mind. We get discouraged, and all of us get discouraged, and sometimes we get down, and I get it. We get depressed, but there are times when those things come because we start to have our focus turn inward. And that's when we need a readjustment, like, hey, what am I doing here? I mean, if we're Christians, we ought to love God, and we ought to have a goal of doing what God says. If we're married, our goal ought to be, you know what? It's not just about me. It's about my spouse. If you have children, it's not about you. It's about your children. And by the way, I'll throw this in. It's a free commercial. If we are married and we are parents, we might want to grow up a little bit. Amen. Well, what about me and what about my time? And I know you need time, but you signed up for that. And by the way, fulfillment comes when you fulfill your responsibilities. There's no greater joy than doing something for your spouse. There's no greater joy than doing something for your children. There's no greater joy than doing something for the Lord. That's right. What's your purpose in life? We have great purpose. You know what we want? We want people's eternal destinies to be changed. We want people who are struggling to find victory in their life. We want families that maybe are going through tough times to find strength for their family. We want our next generation to have something better than what we're seeing going on in our society and in our world today. We want people to know there's hope. There's hope. That's our purpose. First, and then next, another reason why we wouldn't give, there's false outcomes. Look at verse 8 again. To what purpose, and here's how they saw it, and I've already mentioned it, is this waste? What do they mean waste? Because they looked at her giving and said, now they're going to say something false in a little bit. We'll get to that. You know, this could have been used for something else. By the way, the person that said that wasn't going to use it for that anyhow. But that's what we do sometimes. We say, you know, if I'm giving all those that go out on we have a great host of people that come out on Saturdays and they go to the rest of them, they go visiting, they go encouraging people and all these different things, say, that's a waste. Because you didn't use all that time on yourself. Or if you're giving to the church, like, why would you give to that building? That money could have been used on yourself. And I'm not saying, you understand what I'm saying. I'm not saying be responsible. But everybody looks at everything you do and like, if you don't do any, if it's not all done for you, you're wasting it. But that's not true. The most blessed thing you can do is give your time to God. The most blessed thing you can do is invest in what God is doing. It's not a waste. If we spend all that time and effort on ourselves, everybody's like, that's great. But if you spend it for anybody else, there'll be people that say, you're wasting your life. Sometimes we have young people, and as they grow up, they're like, they feel like maybe God would want them to do something. Maybe God would want them to go to a mission field where people don't know anything about God, where if someone woke up this morning and said, you know, I want to go hear about this God, and I want to go to a church that talks about it, there's not one place they could go to. And I've known over the course of the years I've been here, some kids, they feel that calling, and the parents try to push them back from that. But if that's what God wants from them, should we do that? Is it really a waste? We had a missionary come when we first started the church, probably the first month of the church, the first missionary we ever had come in. And he gave this testimony. He said he worked in a business. He was making good money, very prosperous, nothing wrong with that. And he felt God wanted him to go to Thailand, the mission field. And he went and told his dad. He said, Dad, God's called me a mission field. His dad said, that's a horrible decision. That's a waste. He goes, God wants me to go. He goes, son, get in the car. Took him in the car. He goes, they went for a drive. He started driving through one of the better sections of the city, pointing to the houses, and his dad said, go to the mission field. You'll never live in a house like that. And then he went down to one of the new car dealerships, and he stopped in front of him. He pointed the car. He goes, go ahead, be a missionary. You'll never drive a car like that. And then the last thing he did, he took him to a parking lot where they have donations for Goodwill. And he pulled in front of the big donation box and said, if you become a missionary, that's where you're going to get your clothes. And he jokingly said, you know what? My dad was right. But he said, best decision we ever made. Yeah. It's not a waste. Then we also see another reason people say, because there's forsaken prophets. Look at verse 9. For this ointment might have been sold for much. Think of the personal benefits you could have had. Think of what you could have had from it. We could have sold this and got a lot more out of it instead of you wasting it. And it's hard to even say when you think of it, wasting it by pouring it on the Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me. But that's Nelly, not the problem. And then we see a false excuse. Verse 9. And given to the poor. Can I just tell you something? That was Judas, and Judas was stealing the money. That wasn't true. Sometimes God wants us to do something or be involved with something, and we think about it, and this excuse comes to mind. Just something in our mind, just long enough there to keep us from doing what we're supposed to be doing, and that thing, once we get out of that, we're done with it, and that thought doesn't even come back to mind anymore. But really, those are just excuses. So why wouldn't we give? Those are some reasons. Why should we give? Can you imagine Mary? She must have been taken back by all of this. Here she is, Jesus and his guys. She comes in, she's giving this, and it's kind of pointing towards his death, which is coming. And she's thinking that she did a good thing, that she did the right thing. And here are these guys, the spiritual ones with Jesus, picking at her. She must have been like, what did I do wrong? What's going on here? Well, let's give her some reasons why she should give. Because Jesus comes to her defense. Look at verse 10. He talks to her about the unneeded turmoil that she had in her life. Verse 10, and when Jesus understood it, he said unto him, why trouble ye the woman? You know what he's saying? Leave her alone. You have no right to say anything to her. All of that conflict there, everything inside of her. And she's thinking, why are they against me? And you know what happens sometimes? I know this for a fact. We do something and someone harps at it, or we hear somebody criticize or do that. And what happens? Doubt starts to come in our mind. How many know what I'm talking about? How many of you have ever done something and it's the right thing, but after you do it, all of a sudden it's like, should I really have done that? Right? Come on. And Jesus said, hey, quit giving her a problem. She must have said, it was the right thing after all. Do you know it doesn't matter necessarily what other people think? All that matters is what God thinks. And I don't say that so we'd be knuckleheads. I'm not saying that. Sometimes people are like, well, people don't like me because I serve Jesus and I love him. No, they don't like you because sometimes you're unlikable. Right? We're knuckleheads. In the name of Jesus. You can love Jesus and be normal. You can love Jesus and be likable. Now, not that that's our goal, But it's okay. It's okay to be a Christian and be a good person. In fact, if you're a Christian, you should be a good person. But Jesus came to her defense. And she's like, you know what? It's been confirmed. Then he told the reason why. There was unfinished service. Look at verse 10. For she hath wrought a good work upon me. Not only was her heart in the right place, but so was her gift, because there was a purpose, there was a work behind it. Jesus was going to the cross, and this is picturing that. And sometimes we need to look past what we're doing to what the purpose is and what it can accomplish. We look at things like, you know, in the long term, I'm losing out here, but what is it accomplishing? Jesus said, she did a good work upon me. She's doing the right thing. She is serving and helping and working. And look at verse 11. There was an undeniable schedule she was following. Look at verse 11. For ye have the poor always with you. By the way, that's not what the money was for. But me ye have not always. Jesus wasn't saying that they shouldn't give to the poor, because they should. Jesus wasn't saying that there aren't people in need that we ought to help, because there are. But he's saying at this time and right now, this was needed for this. It's just, it's now. When I think about our building and our giving, again, I'm not trying to harp. It's now. This is the time to finish this thing up. And Jesus said, why? Yes, go reach the poor and go do that. But what are they reaching the poor with? They're going to reach the poor with the gospel of Christ and his death, which was coming. This was preparation for that. And once they had that, their commission was go. Go everywhere. So the schedule was right. And then there was a unimaginable significance to what was going on. Look at verse 12 again. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. The focus should not have been on the gift. The focus should have been on his death and burial. The focus shouldn't have been on the sacrifice, although Jesus did put focus on that. We'll see that in a minute. The focus should have been on what was going to happen and what was coming up, and the significance of that event. It's a big deal. Our Lord Jesus Christ, by the way, is a big deal. And then she says there's just going to be an undisputable return. Look at verse 13. Verily I say unto you, whithersoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be this, that this woman had done, be told for a memorial of her. The fact that we're talking about that this morning proves that that's true. Yep. Jesus said, you're troubling her. You think it's a waste. Can I just tell you something? This is going to be forever a testimony of what she did for me. Yep. Now, I get it that what we're doing, anything in our life, no one may know about it. Sometimes we do things and it's like, no one knows what I'm doing and I'm trying to do the right thing. Can I just tell you something? God knows you're doing the right thing. Amen. And one day, by the way, when we're in heaven, everybody else will know too. But we're not worried about that. But for her, he said, hey, there's a reward in what we're doing. You are never anything minute, medium-sized, huge. You do with the right motive for the right person is always rewarded. It's not a waste. Keep sowing the right kinds of seeds. There is a return. We think so much about our lives and everything we do. We only have this time on this earth to serve our Lord. Then lastly, so if you look at why we wouldn't and why we shouldn't, let's just look why we must give. If I'm looking at all the evidence of this story, what she did, what the others here are griping about, and what Jesus is speaking, let's just put it all together and let's just say, is it worthy for us to do anything for Jesus Christ? We can settle it by looking at the people involved in the story, and we can make a determination we should give. First of all, we can make a determination saying we must give when we see who doesn't like it. Verse 14, then one of the 12 called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests. Judas bailed. He had enough. He's going to go sell the Lord Jesus Christ out. He was all about thievery and money. He was the one pushing the other disciples to put her down for what she did. Can I just tell you, by the way, you know, people name their children Bible names, right? Nobody names their children Judas. They just don't. That's not at the top of the list. Ruth, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you know, Phoebe. We got a Phoebe in the church. Nobody says, hey, you know, I want to name that kid Judas. That's a good one. No one does that, right? I know a lot of Marys. But Judas was against it. He was a thief. He was selfish. His witness is very, very, very unbelievable. You can't believe it. Years ago, a long time, I was on jury duty once, and they were trying this guy, and I, you know, you open mind, but he was guilty of sin. His only witness on his behalf was his cellmate. Do you know, it was pretty easy for the other attorney to discount his testimony. It was super easy. It's like, okay, this is the only guy on his side, and they told a lot of things that he had going on in his deceit. It's like, all right, it's hard to believe him, right? You know what? I'm not going to believe Judas. Can I just say this? When someone criticizes you for anything you're doing that's right, I want to say this in the right way because I don't want to be negative. Sometimes I can be negative. Who are they? What's going on in their life? You know, I'm working the break room, and I'd see one guy on his fifth wife telling this guy that's on his first wife how to have a good marriage. And I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe he knows. Five times, you know, hey, you know, strike one, two, three, I got an extra strike, you know. Usually it's ball four, not strike four. I don't know how that works. But it's like, you know, the guy who has 12 kids in jail is telling you how to raise children. You know, the guy who has the business going bankrupt is telling you how to run a prosperous business. Back away from that. Judas is the one that's pushing this. And to be honest with you, his testimony's not very good. I'm not going to follow him. So you see who doesn't like it. Well, you might want to see who's involved with it. There came a woman having an alabaster box, a very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. That was Mary. By the way, Mary had a very deep faith, right? She did. And you look at her and you look at how the Lord was close to her and how things worked out in her life. I'm like, that's what I want. Yeah. Amen. I'll follow that path. I'm not going to follow the path of somebody that says, you know, I would never sacrifice and do anything for the Lord. I would never give a minute. I would never give any of my time. I wouldn't do any of it. I'm going to follow somebody who I see God working in their life. Amen. Because that's what I want. And then another reason we ought to be given is who's defending it? Jesus. Look, if Jesus says it's the right thing to do, that is all I need to hear. I don't want to take what I read in this Bible, I don't want to take what I hear and learn from this Bible and filter it through other people. Because if God said it, he spoke on it, that's good enough for me. I don't need validation from other places. And Jesus said, hey, this was good. This was right. This was the time. And after all, wasn't it all for him in the first place? So what's the point this morning? The point is this. We should never, ever be fearful of giving anything with the right heart and the right motive for the glory and the honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Yeah, that's time. By the way, you're at church this morning. You know what you said by coming to church this morning? You know what? There's something important about Jesus that I'm going to be here this morning. Yeah, you could be somewhere else. A lot of people in our church, we have people over in the nursery and teaching Sunday school and doing other junior churches all over this property. And there's some that'll come this afternoon, and when we're done here and you're having lunch, they'll be taking people home and all the different things. You know why people do that? Because they're doing it for Jesus Christ. Right. That's not a waste. Right. He says it's good. They'll have people that give to projects. I mentioned all over. I don't know how many of our guys and how many different projects our missionaries in the foreign field are involved with, and we'll have offerings, and you'll step up to the plate. I think we helped buy the roof, right? Didn't we? We bought tracks. We've helped buy educational building over in Phnom Penh and the building there. Brother Luis needed land. You bought it for him. Brother Tongdi, what was he? A dorm for the college in Laos? And he said, we were going to give him a little bit of money. He said, man, I need $20,000. I'm like, hey, we can raise that. Okay. And you gave more than $20,000. Why? You're invested in what's going on in God's work. You know why? Because we're not going to see those dorms. We bought cows for Brother Tongdi. It's like, what? It's like, yeah, the local missionaries, they can survive with their cows. So I'm like, really? And I thought, I'll buy some. And I thought they're going to be like 2,000. He goes, they're 500 bucks. So I'm like, we'll buy the 5 cows. Then you have to name them after the staff members. So one of the cows is Nathan Ross. One of them is Charlie Chim. One's Joseph Esposito. I said, don't you name one after me. We're not going there. And now he was here last time, those 5 cows are now 20. Like, well, now you can start naming them after the school teachers, right? And then we'll get to the Sunday school teachers, and then, hey, if you want to buy a cow, we'll brand your name on that thing. You know why? Why? So they can have a cow? No. So that national can survive and go reach people in his country. But you know why we do all that? All that to get to this, and I'm done. Because we're doing it for the Lord. He's in on that. And so as we look at our lives, are you living your life based on, will it please Jesus Christ? Are you giving your time based on, will it please the Lord? Do you give of your resources and finances based on, is this going to honor the Lord Jesus Christ? Mary did, and we're talking about her to this day. Judas, we talk about him too, but not in a good light. Yeah. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Thank you for listening. I went fast. I didn't want to. We got a little later start this morning. My whole point is this. Should we give? That's the title. And the answer to me is yeah. Yeah. I don't regret anything I've ever given to the Lord. I don't. I don't regret following God's plan for my life. It's not for everybody. And doing what I do today. I don't regret a penny I've ever given, an investment I've ever given. I don't regret a minute I've ever spent doing things to help people or be involved in different ministries. I don't regret a minute of anything I've ever done. I don't. And I'm thankful that I got that nailed down in my life early on. So when we think about next week, if you think about God and he allows you to be involved in what we're doing, it's not a waste. If we think about just living your life for him, can I just tell you, it's not a waste. Nothing you do with a good heart and a proper motive, honoring the Lord Jesus Christ, is a waste. It's not. I think of it as an investment that pays dividends here, but also in eternity. Maybe you're here this morning and you're newer here. I would be remiss if I didn't ask this question. The greatest thing that you need to give to Jesus Christ is your soul. Your soul. What do I mean by that? Giving complete 100% trust in him for your eternal destiny. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? When I walked into church as a teenager and I heard that question, I had all kinds of doubt and I settled it. With nobody looking around and our heads bowed and our eyes closed, you say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not for sure. I'd like to know, would you pray for me? Just briefly put your hand up and down and I'll pray for you. Anybody at all, pray for you. Let's stand together if we may. The piano's playing. Maybe God spoke to you. Maybe you've been doing some right things and given to the Lord, and it creeps into our mind like it does all of us. Is this really the right thing to do? Am I really making a good investment of my time? Whatever God spoke to you about, the piano is going to play. If you want to come and pray, you may.